I want to thank the praise team and the choir. What a great anthem the choir had today. The power of the cross. More abundant power than we could ever realize, that we could ever fathom. And that's why we're here today, because of the power of the cross. That Jesus took our sins to the cross and nailed them there. And we can celebrate today because we know He overcame death and He overcame the cross. Today, we'll be looking at Luke chapter 15, and also, if you have your Bible, you can go ahead and find that, but also put a piece of paper in Psalm 103, 11, and 12. We're going to be looking at that in just a minute, too. Some of you have asked about Miss Natalie. We can report that Miss Natalie is still with us, that she's getting very weak and spending a lot of time sleeping during the day, but she is still hanging on, and we're looking forward to the day that God calls her home. I know she is, and she's excited about that, but thank you for her prayers, and continue to pray for her family and those that have lost loved ones in the last few weeks. Continue to pray for them. Today, like I said, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 15. This is week 3 of our sermon series on the parables. As Chuck and Callan have preached the last couple of weeks, Jesus used parables all the time in His ministry. And we as humans, we love a good story. We love a feel-good story. We love a story with action. We love a story that can get our attention, that we can relate to. And that's exactly what Jesus did with the parables. He would use everyday situations. He knew His audience. He knew who He was talking to. Sometime maybe in your life you've been asked, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? My superpower would be to know exactly what you guys are thinking so I could preach to you. But Jesus knew that. Jesus had that power. He knew what the people needed. He knew what His audience needed. And He knew what they wanted or they needed to hear in their life. So He used parables all the time. And a parable is simply just a story that uses a life situation to speak to a heart. And that's what Jesus was so good at. He could take a life situation that they understood and that we understand and speak directly to our heart and turn that towards Him and His love and His redemption. The parables that Jesus told in Luke 15 are exactly that. He is speaking to hearts then, and He's speaking to hearts today. And as we look at those today, you'll see that. But before we read, how many of you, by show of hands, have ever lost anything? Many of you are still looking for that one thing. That's right, yeah. In the early service, Kaylee Blythe told us a great story of how she lost a unicorn. She went into how they tore the house apart, and they still haven't found it. She did say she got a new unicorn. But we know what it is to lose things. It could be your keys, your iPhone, your wallet, your purse, a unicorn, any of those things. How many of you this week have heard someone say in your house, or you've said it yourself, "Hey, has anybody seen the remote?" That's an ongoing thing at my house. I actually had to download an app on my phone that could run the TV, so when we lost the remote, we could still use it. But, and it's never in the same place when we find it. But I bet you guys know what loss is. You know the pain and the frustration that loss brings. But also, we sometimes experience loss much deeper than a remote or keys. We lose friends and family members. So we know what it is to lose things. In the three stories told in Luke, Jesus understood what loss brought, pain and frustration. And I said in the early service that I think that the story of the prodigal son maybe is the greatest short story ever told. After I said that, a couple of people came up and said, "You know what, in my study Bible, it actually says, my study Bible says that it's probably the greatest story ever told." And one of them said that Charles Dickens actually said that the prodigal son was the greatest short story ever told. So that's what we're looking at today. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Luke chapter 15, and we're going to read all three of the parables. I think it's the greatest story ever told because of the storyteller and the content and the biblical truth that comes out of this. So let's read these together. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them?" Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and carefully search until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Jesus then continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. But not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of the country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arm around him, and kissed him. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, "What is going on?" "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank you that you are a God that seeks his creation, that desires a relationship with us. We thank you for the promise that you're always there. You love us no matter what. Lord, as we look at your word right now, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, your people. Change our minds, change our hearts and our lives today. Lord, draw us closer to you than we've ever been. We love you. We praise you. In your name we pray. Amen. In the very beginning, in verse 1, we see that Jesus has been traveling. He comes to a city and he decides to sit down and rest, and he's probably teaching some. And we see that the sinners and the tax collectors have gathered around him. Luke chooses to write about the sinners and the tax collectors, that they're there in Jesus' midst. And I would say there's probably Christ followers, the disciples were there, there were other people, and also the Pharisees were there. And the Pharisees were always trying to find their opportunity to take a dig at Jesus, to undermine what he's doing, to catch him in a lie or catch him in to something where they could prosecute him. But Jesus knew that those were there, they were there that needed to hear the truth of how God loved them. They needed to hear the truth of what God does in their lives and that God wanted a relationship with them. We see the tax collector as being the chief sinner, that they did everything they could to cheat their fellow man, to be greedy, to get everything they could, regardless of the laws. And the Pharisees didn't like the fact that Jesus was actually sitting down, speaking and eating with them. Jesus was actually breaking bread with the chief sinner. Jesus knew the attitude of everyone there that day, and he knew the attitude of the Pharisees. So Jesus takes this opportunity to address everyone there. He uses these parables to speak to the heart of each person that day and also our hearts today. He first tells of a story of a shepherd that has 100 sheep. And he goes out and he's counting his flock, taking inventory, and he realizes that one of those sheep is missing. In those days, a shepherd was not a guy that just owned a farm that would take an acre of land and put up a fence and go and every once in a while go check on his sheep, that he'd give them water and food, make sure they were safe, and when they need it, he would shear them. Now, that's not what we're looking at. We're looking at a shepherd that has wide open spaces, that's in the wilderness, and he does everything he can to protect his sheep. The shepherd spends every waking second of his existence to make sure the sheep are safe. And when he takes inventory that day and realizes that one of the sheep is gone, this is a big deal. He takes every second of his day then to turn away from the 99 to go find the one. That's an extreme measure that some of us would think that's crazy, to leave 99 to go find the one. But the shepherd knew the wilderness, the elements that that sheep was facing. Not only did he spend a lot of time with him, just as Pastor Stephen said, the shepherd fell in love with those sheep. He would lay down his life for those sheep. And that's what we see here. He probably even slept with one eye open each night. So the shepherd leaves the 99 to go find the one. And when he finds him, there is joy in his life. He becomes so happy. And many times we would think he would straight, as soon as he found the sheep, he would punish him. Or he would tie a rope around his neck and drag him back to the flock. But that's not what we see here. The shepherd actually kneels in the dirt, lifts up the sheep and places him on his shoulders and carries him back to the sheep, to the flock. That's a perfect picture of God the Father. And the shepherd is so happy that he has to tell everyone he knows. He comes back into town with the sheep on his shoulder and he tells his friends, his neighbors, his family, everyone that'll listen, I found my sheep. I didn't think I would ever see that sheep again, but he's found and he's back home. It's a great glimpse of what heaven does when one person comes to know the Lord. There's excitement and there's joy and there's rejoicing. Then Jesus tells the parable of the woman that has 10 coins, about 10 days' wages, and she takes inventory of the coins and she realizes that she only has 9. She's lost one coin. And what does she do? She lights a lamp. She finds her broom and she sweeps every square inch of the house. I kind of think of that as me looking for the remote. I'm throwing cushions. I'm picking up blankets. I'm doing everything I can to find it. She takes the time to sweep the entire house, all four corners, until she finds the coin. When she finds the coin, she's overcome with joy. The search is over. She's found what she was looking for. And she also calls her friends and family, neighbors and acquaintances and says, I lost a coin. I thought I'd never see it again, but I found it. And I'm so happy. I want you to rejoice with me. Then Jesus tells a parable about a father and his two sons. The younger son comes to the father, and he knows his father is abundantly rich. And he says, Father, I want my inheritance here before you die. In that day, the Jewish law would say that the younger son would get about a third of everything the father owned. And it was a little crazy for this to happen before the father died, but it's not unheard of. But it is unheard of that the younger son was bold enough to come and ask for it. It would always be initiated by the father. But the younger son comes and says, Dad, I want a third of what you have. Give me a third of your riches and I'll be happy. And the father, being the great father that he was, he didn't say no. He didn't try to talk him out of it. He didn't say, I don't think this is the best for you. Much like God gives us freedom to make our own decisions. The younger son is longing for a freedom that he thinks he knows. He thinks he can take his life into his own hands on his own terms. The younger son's plan was to just move away, to get away from the power and the authority of his father and his father's household. The younger son said, if I could just make my own decisions. How many of us can relate to that today? So the younger son goes off. And he goes into town and he finds a village close by. And he keeps continuing to move farther and farther away. He parties in this town and goes to the next town. He makes bad decision after bad decision after bad decision. And the same time that the younger son was completely out of money, a famine struck the land. There was no rain, there were no crops, there was not an abundance of food. So anybody that had not planned ahead and stored something back was in big trouble. The son finds himself without anything, far away from the comfort of his father's home, in a severe famine. He goes and finds a farmer and begs for a job, and the farmer says, I have a field full of pigs that you can feed. And the son takes that job. And once again, Jesus knew exactly who he was talking to that day. For a young Jewish man in that day, to feed pigs was unheard of. In Leviticus, the law says that they were not even allowed to eat pig. They were not allowed to touch pigs or be around pigs because they were unclean. But we see this prominent young son from a great father, knee-deep in mud and slop, feeding pigs in a foreign country. He's surrounded by nasty, dirty pigs, feeding them slop. And for anyone that's ever been on a farm and fed pigs, the word slop, I don't know who invented that, but they're right. It just sounds nasty. But he's so hungry and so down that he sees that slop and says, if I could just eat that, maybe I could get by. That young Jewish boy from a prominent family was willing to eat slop off the ground. And then he realizes, I can't live like this anymore. I have a father that has a great estate, a prominent home, a prominent family. If I could just go back and beg him for mercy and beg that I could be a hired servant in his house. I've watched my father and he's good to his slaves. He's good to his servants. If I could just go back and return to that, I would have more than enough to eat. And I see the son as he's coming out of the pig pen. He starts to rehearse his story. As he's walking on the road, I can see him, you know, Father, I know I was wrong. I know I made a bad decision. I know I shouldn't have asked for my inheritance early. I know you're not going to forgive me. I'm so sorry. Just please hire me on as a servant. Maybe I could do work for you and I could just have enough to get by because I'm starving. We've all done that as kids. When we mess up, we break a window or we do something wrong, we start coming up with the story. And if a brother and sister is involved, we make sure the story is the same. And you start working together to say, this is the story we're going to tell mom and dad. I think this is where this young son is. As he walks on the road back towards his father's house, he's rehearsing what he's going to say. In the second half of verse 20 is where I agree that this is the greatest story ever told. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, and he was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. We see as the son is coming up the road, he's headed towards the father's house. He's talking to himself, rehearsing his lines. And the father spotted him a long way off. I can picture this in my mind, that it's a long dirt road. And just on the horizon, you can see a little speck of the sun coming up that long dirt road. But the father had not given up on his son. He was still looking. No matter what he was doing on the estate, if he himself was working in the field, or if he was in the house, or he was on the front porch, or he was just spending time in God's creation, he was always searching for that son. And this day he sees that little speck on the horizon. And he takes off running as hard as he can go. Now Jesus, knowing his audience that day, once again gets their attention. Because in that day, for a Jewish man to lift up his robe and run anywhere was unheard of. It was thought as about as undignified as you could get. But the father couldn't wait one more second to be without his son. And he runs down the road and he wraps his arms around him and begins kissing him. Parents, think about a time you were away from your kids for just a week or a short period. Every year when we take kids and youth to trips, when we pull back in the parking lot, there's always some moms and dads that are waiting in the parking lot to give their son or daughter a hug. That's multiplied about 1,000 times in this story. The picture of this father running down the road as hard as he can go to embrace a son that he thought was lost. And the son immediately starts spewing those lines. Father, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I know I did. And the father doesn't even listen to that. He completely ignores what his son is saying. And what a beautiful picture of the father's love for his son. None of this matters what the son is saying. All that matters is he is home. And he immediately reinstates his son into the household. He calls to his servants and says, bring the robe, bring a ring, bring sandals, kill the fattened calf, we're going to party tonight. My son is home. The robe showed all those in his father's house and the community that he was reinstated. Forgiveness had been taken, and the son had a place back into the father's house. The ring and the sandals signified that same son that was lost was now reinstated as a leader of the family. From the very second that father spotted him on the horizon, forgiveness took place. He forgave him instantly and forgotten everything that had happened. This is a beautiful picture of God, our Father, today. Our sin and bad decisions separate us from God. And there's no way that we can have a relationship with Him under our own power and our own plan. That's human nature at its worst. we think we know what's best. Give us our inheritance now and let us be. But the truth today is, God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. There may be someone in here today that's still in that pig pen. You've been struggling, trying to find a way out, trying to do it on your own, to know that your plan is best. But it's just not working. That young son came back to the Father to experience God's grace, mercy, and forgiveness. There's nothing in here that any of us could ever do that God couldn't forgive. Will you turn with me to Psalm 103, 11 and 12? A great reminder of that statement today. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. God wants to know you. He wants to love you. And His ultimate desire is for us to want Him. He's ready to run to you today with arms wide open. He sees you on the horizon, and He's ready to run down that long dirt road. Someone in here today needs to know that God loves them, and the Father's waiting for them. But Jesus' parable doesn't end there. We see great rejoicing from a shepherd who found his lost sheep, from a woman who found her lost coin, and from a father who found his lost son. But there's great contrast at the very end of that. The older brother is angry when he realizes his younger brother's return. And his father has totally forgiven him of everything, and he kills the fattened calf to throw a party. He comes to the dad and says, "What about me? I've been here the whole time. I've slaved for you. I've worked in the fields for you. I've never asked anything from you. I've done everything you've asked. I've never gone against you. But yet you've never done anything for me and my friends. Not even a young goat where we could have a party." Jesus knew the Pharisees were listening, and they were leaning in to see what Jesus had to say. I think He was speaking directly to them and their piety and self-righteousness that day. They were in the very presence of the Son of God in that meeting, and they missed it. The older brother stayed home and worked, and he thought that was enough. He dined and lived in the presence of his father his entire life, but he missed the blessing. He was as distant from the Father as his younger son ever was. He had the same grace and forgiveness and love that that younger brother received. But he had forgotten all about that. It's easy to sometimes forget what God has done in our lives. Don't miss the opportunities to praise Him. Don't miss the opportunities to praise Him for what He's doing in your life. And don't miss the opportunities to praise Him for what He does in someone else's life. God's desire is that all of His creation would call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows the pain of loss, and He wants everyone to know and love Him. And that's why we're called to fill the empty chair beside us, in front of us, and behind us in this place. Are we sweeping the corners of our community? Are we lighting the lamps? Are we leaving the 99 in here to go find the one? The brother missed his opportunity to go and find his younger brother. He missed the opportunity to be in the presence of his father. No matter where you are in your relationship today, in here, God wants to fill your heart with that joy, and He wants to run to you. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank You so much that You're a God that pursues us, a God that wants a relationship with us. And we thank You that the Creator of the earth wants that relationship. Lord, I pray that there may be someone in here today that doesn't have that relationship with You, that they see now that it's time for them to leave the pig pen and call on the name of Jesus and realize that He died on the cross for them and 3 days later He rose. Lord, there may be someone here today that's forgotten to praise You in the good and the bad. Lord, we thank You that You're a God that does not move away, but You're always pursuing us. We thank You for Your word and the truth that it brings today. We thank You that You've given us the greatest short story ever. We love You. We praise You. In Your name we pray. Amen.